I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Now, if you can't get enough real-life paranormal stories, I've got another podcast you're going to want to add to your rotation. It's called Tell Me Your Ghost Story. Each episode, host Cassie Askin invites guests to share their unexplainable encounters in their own words, from haunted houses and strange creatures to messages from beyond and UFO encounters in the sky. Some stories are terrifying, some are heartwarming, and some might just change the way you see the world. For example, there's David, who thought he delivered mail to a swanky hotel downtown Los Angeles, until he later found out the place had been vacant and condemned for years. Or Jordan, who woke up in a historic English inn to see a small, goblin-like figure peering at her. And whatever it was, it followed her home. And Ivy, who began receiving messages from her fiancé after his sudden passing, until the night a second voice came through. It was a young girl who said she'd been murdered, sending Ivy down a years-long path to find justice through police investigations and courtrooms. Cassie isn't looking for answers or theories, just stories that are sure to haunt you. So whether you listen for the spooky, the storytelling, or both, Tell Me Your Ghost Story has you covered. Listen to Tell Me Your Ghost Story podcast now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Distance never seemed to be an issue with him.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. It's great to have you with us here this evening. Sit down, put your feet up, take a load off, gather round the virtual campfire. I have some tales to tell and to share with you here this evening. Some real spooky ones too. Strange creatures, strange people, and strange activity that can only be classified as ghostly. But we begin tonight in a cemetery. We are just over a week away from All Hallows Eve, after all. So please join me in welcoming Amanda out of the cowboy state of Wyoming.
Hello, this is Amanda from Wyoming. I thought of a story that I had when I was an early teen in the early 2000s. I was with my sister, and my uncle came for a visit. My town was a small town connected to another small town, but he bet us that we couldn't spend 1 minute at the end of our local cemetery. So we got all hyped up, and we went on a drive, and we're like, yeah, we can do this. Yeah, let's go. And when we got there, he parked the truck, and he was like, okay, I'm going to make sure that there's nobody in there, and it's kind of, I guess, safe from other people, and then we're going to do this game. Came back, and he's like, okay, when you guys get to the end of that bench at the very end of the cemetery, when I turn my lights on after 1 minute, you're going to run back. And you did it. And it was going to be really fun, and we're all really jazzed about it. So sister and I walking through, headlights behind us, all the graves are lit up. It's kind of spooky. So we finally get to the end and we sit down, lights turn off. It was a very small cemetery. So we're sitting there and we're trying to make small talk and we're looking out because it's on a hill and you can, you know, look out at a cute little valley and you're still in the, you know, graveyard, but it was like kind of peaceful. Well, we're sitting there and we're like trying to do the nervous, oh, you know, ba 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 ba. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we hear really little kids laughing. Like a bunch of little kids laughing. And I look at my sister. I'm like, Emmy. And she's looking at me like, oh, you know, we're sitting there on the bench. Pretty light night. And I start looking around and I see toys on the stones. And I go, oh, no. In my head, I was like, we're in the little kid section of the graveyard. Not even thinking about it. Boom. Headlights turn on. We are dashing through the graveyard. And we come back and we were very scared. But we were like, oh, my goodness, we were hearing a bunch of laughing. Oh, my goodness. And Michael's like, I checked the graveyard. There's no way that you heard anybody. And my sister and I don't think that, yeah, we were hanging out with little maybe kids. Thank you so much. I love your podcast. And keep it spooky. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Amanda. Ghost children. In a little frontier cemetery. I love it. How very Halloween-y. Which reminds me, this time of year, many of you venture out on little excursions like this in search of your town's local folklore. But be careful out there. Remember, safety first. No trespassing and watch out for the living. But most importantly, don't put yourself in a position that'll leave you part of the legend. Because that sort of thing has happened before. And it began with a train wreck over Bostain's Bridge, just west of Statesville, North Carolina, August 27th, 1891.
It's a sort of a ghost train. It's an old story that goes that apparently back many years ago in 1891 there was a train wreck.
The screeching brakes quickly turned into crushing metal and screams from passengers. According to the folktale, 50 years later, a woman walking near the bridge saw and heard the same train derail.
And a lot of people come out at the anniversary of that every year to watch and see if they can see the ghost train at around 3 o'clock in the morning.
And this year was no exception. A group of 10 to 12 came to this bridge in hopes of seeing and hearing the ghost train. But they were met by a real train coming down this track. You have to remember, it was pitch black out here. With nowhere to go, the only option was down the 75-foot bridge.
The train hit and killed 29-year-old Christopher Kaiser. A woman injured herself after falling off the embankment. It's unclear why they did not see the lights from the train or hear it. But what is clear, after years of ghost hunting near the bridge...
This is the first fatality or injury we've had.
Now that cautionary tale, courtesy of WXII, NBC News 12, out of Winston-Salem. And of course... this isn't the only incident where something tragic like this has happened. Places like the Poplick Trestle in Kentucky have seen even more death over the years. So what I'm saying here is, have your fun out there, but do it from a safe distance. No one's actually caught a ghost yet. You're probably not going to either. So don't die trying. That's my little PSA here this evening. Now, another big thanks to Amanda for taking the time to call in. Spooky stuff. And I'm happy to hear
that no one was injured. Now, gang, you won't believe the calls that I have lined up for you tonight. Blood-curdling tales that'll leave you sleepless for at least hours. But first, I need to take a quick break to hear from tonight's sponsors. Don't touch that dial.
Would die at the age of 80 in 1872, but
to the world.
It's time to just say no to overpaying for wireless. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. No contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees, and no BS. So ditch overpriced wireless and their jaw-dropping monthly bills. Unexpected overages and hidden fees. Plans start at just $15 a month at Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. And if you need a brand new number, like we did, Mint Mobile can do that too. Even in our rural mountain town, we have great coverage. I'm shocked by the quality and price of Mint Mobile compared to our old provider. And I'm kicking myself for not signing up for a Mint Mobile plan sooner. Ready to say yes to saying no? Make the switch at mintmobile.com/MAU. That's mintmobile.com/MAU. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 per month. Limited time new customer offers for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Its frame is twisted.
Now our next call takes place 30,000 feet in the air. Please welcome Joseph from Georgia.
Good morning, Derek, or good afternoon, wherever you're at. My name is Joseph. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. It's October 20th, 2024. It was at around 11 o'clock. I was flying in. I was on a plane. I was coming back from Colorado. And I saw these objects in the sky, and I thought, oh, they're just planes. But they were in a triangle, and it was really weird, because I was like, well, if we're landing, there shouldn't really be in this airspace. Nothing should be in the airspace. And I actually pulled my phone out and started taking a video of it. But before that, the top right object split in two, like completely split in half. And they both were two objects, and the one object flew straight up in the air, and I just lost sight of it. I remember like putting my face towards the window trying to see what it was, and it just disappeared out of view. And then that's when I pulled out my phone and started recording the objects, and you'll see in the video the objects just clearly in a triangle, and the left object is flowing towards the left, but the other two objects are staying incomplete synchronize. I thought maybe it could have been a drone or like a helicopter, but I've known aircraft for a long time and I've just never seen aircraft just split in two. That's just not a real thing to me. So it really gave me the spooks. I'm still confused to this day on what I saw about it. I actually did ask the pilots and they said they saw it, but they didn't know what it was. So that gave me a clear indication like, okay, maybe I did see a UFO, because I just don't see it being a drone. Something splitting in half doesn't make sense to me. Anyways, I really love listening to your show, and maybe you can give me some insight on what I saw. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joseph. Check out tonight's show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the show notes tab to take a look at the photo and video that Joseph sent in. Now, at first, I thought it was other airplanes that Joseph was seeing, coming in behind his craft, on approach to the airport. The splitting of the light was simply two planes in line, and one of them veered off. But I highly doubt seasoned pilots would mistake anything like that for an unusual craft. So I'm with you, Joseph, but I don't have a clue what it was. Now I'll see if I can get Sarah to post Joseph's media up on our social media pages as well. Maybe we'll get a Discord thread going, talking about it or something. Go take a look wherever you can, and let us know what you think. You never know, Joseph. Maybe someone listening is the answers that you seek. Thanks again for the photo, the video, and of course, the phone call. And folks, if you have a story you would like to share, call our hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email the file to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, there are rules to this little game, however. Not buzzkill rules, more like guidelines, to help you leave the best quality call that you possibly can. And I think I added a new one here tonight. If you reference a photo or video in your call, please be sure to email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And please be clear how you label it. Otherwise, I'll never find it. Now, the other rules are simple. Call from a quiet place. Only call a story in once. But if you need more time to finish, you can call back and pick up where you left off. One story per call. You can share as many as you want, just keep them separated. That makes them so much easier to edit. And lastly, true stories only. That means no fibbing. And if you have a youngster that has a story they'd like to share, have them call our sister show at 833-MAU-KIDS. Or shoot us an email at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, coincidentally, you can catch those episodes every other Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast. One just dropped yesterday, in fact. Now, if you don't mind, let's get back into the action. This time from Luis, down in Puerto Rico.
Greetings, Derek. This is Luis from Puerto Rico. This story is from my brothers. This happened last night. Well, he was at home. It was dusk, and he went to the backyard. And here in Puerto Rico, many of the houses, we tend to plant individual mini forest, and this house, the house of my mother, is not different from that. Anyway, he went to the backyard, and he usually goes to relax. But while he was washing the trees in the backyard, people start to appear from the plants. And these people were dressed with ancient robes, like, as he said to me, like ancient Greeks or Romans, and they began to dance, start a kind of celebration, and as much time he was watching them, more appeared. And there were as many as 20 dancing, celebrating, but oblivious to his presence. They didn't notice he was watching them. And he realized moments later that they were floating a few feet above the ground while they were dancing. And they continued this kind of celebration until the corner of his eye, he noticed that there was one that was watching him. This one was more dressed like a warrior than the other ones that were dancing. And he was looking at him. And my brother then, he turned his head to him, and he said, "You know, I am watching you too," as making him know, "I acknowledge you're here." And he waited a few more seconds, and slowly he retired to the house again. And Later he went back. They were gone. I don't know. It looks like, to me, the old spirits from the forest, like minks, something like that. I don't know. But it was interesting story. My brother has his share of paranormal accounts. Well, see you later. Keep the good work and keep it spooky.
Thank you, Luis. Now, earlier this week, I did an episode on the state of Oregon. Each of the stories occurred within the state's boundaries. And we ended the episode with a story from an anonymous caller who reported seeing something that sounded eerily similar to me. Now, the following is from that episode, Season 20, Episode 3, a call from Anonymous up there in Oregon.
I was outside at the bottom of our driveway, and from there you can see across kind of a wetland area. There's a really steep hill. It's so steep that you really can't walk there. And I was just gazing across, and in this little gap in the trees, all of a sudden, a clear as day figure dressed all in white appeared in an opening in kind of the canopy, like high up in the trees. They were completely dressed in white and doing some strange rhythmic dance. And they were, you know, 150 yards away or so, but I was kind of keenly aware that they were looking at me and smiling and very much, I don't know, I felt their gaze. They moved out of the clearing. Another person took their place, and then another, all kind of doing this back and forth, odd little, I would only describe it as a pagan-y kind of dance.
Now, of course, that is a truncated version of the call, but I think the similarities were obvious. But the distance is so vast. Oregon to Puerto Rico is what, 3,731 miles or something, off the top of my head. So what are the odds that these two are describing the exact same phenomena? Well, I say it a lot here on the program. That makes two, which means it's time to take notice. If I find a third, well, you'll definitely hear about it. A big thanks to both our anonymous caller and to Luis for sharing the mystery. Whatever these beings are, they sure do bring a lot of attention to themselves. Now let's bring in one more before we take our next break. Diana from Nevada. Let's hear your tale.
Hi, Derek and fellow listeners. My name is Diana. I am calling from Nevada, and this happened back in 2019. I lived in a small neighborhood near a high school. My house is in between two houses, as well as houses behind me, that have a wall that is about 8 to 9 feet. I also have two locked gates on the side of the house where this happened. One night, I was getting ready for bed, and per usual, I like to look out the balcony door. I was looking out and thinking how peaceful it was. Usually the kids like to pop off fireworks or their drag racers speeding through. It's actually kind of annoying. As I scanned from the street to my neighbor's yard, I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. At first, I thought it was a bird. Then I realized that it was a really dark figure just standing there. The best way to describe what I was seeing is a figure that was so dark, so thick in color. Imagine seeing a mannequin that is just the color of Vanta Black. It's some color that the scientists came up with. I stood as still as possible and watched it for what seemed like minutes, but it was just mere seconds. When the figure realized I could see it, it moved as though it was kind of surprised. It's kind of like that, oh snap, she can see me, but there's nowhere to hide kind of thing. It stood still for a few seconds, then took off towards the gated walkway. In the three steps that it took, it gave off tiny glitters of light, then it just disappeared. I ran to the balcony hoping the motion sensor light would light up, but it didn't. Whatever it was gone. No one had jumped the wall or the two gates. It felt like time had frozen while I had seen and watched it. Then I began wondering if someone was just trying to break in, or maybe it was my husband. Luckily, we had cameras, and to my surprise, there were no recordings. No one was trying to break in, and the husband was passed out on the sofa. The camera that faced the back door didn't catch anything. No shadow beings, no dogs, no husband. I went back to the balcony and scanned over the spot where I saw the being. It had been standing next to a 9 to 10 foot patio umbrella. The being was just a few inches shorter than that tall umbrella. I decided to go outside to look to see if there was anything that would make sense of what I had just seen. In that area was a pool that we kept the light on every night and a small herb garden that had baby praying mantis growing in the herbs. See, I would fish out grasshoppers and throw it in the garden for the mantis to eat. Maybe that's why my visitor showed up. While I was outside, I had a flashback of a shadow being I had seen a few years earlier in the same house. I had completely forgotten about it. It was at nighttime and I was in my bedroom with headphones on. The only light on was in my bathroom, but it was dim due to a curtain that was hanging in the entryway. I had looked up towards the bedroom door that was opened a few inches and saw what I thought was my husband peeking behind the wall. When I got up to walk to the door, he was gone, so I thought I'd follow him downstairs to ask if he needed anything, only to find him knocked out on the sofa with the dogs and cats. Our house isn't that big, you can pretty much hear if someone is moving around. So I walked back upstairs, checked on the kids, and all was quiet. As I thought about what I had just seen, I realized it was a shadow being. The first time I learned of these beings was back in the mid-90s. A friend of mine had been having sleep paralysis and saw them. I never learned what the doctors thought or what the prognosis was since he shipped out on orders, but the base doctors were trying to help him. It had the same blacker-than-black appearance. I don't know why I began seeing these beings in the house, but I no longer live there. We've moved across town, and now my 5-year-old sees them, but I hope it's more in her dreams than awake. I know many people get negative vibes off their shadow beings, but mine have been pretty chill. I hope y'all like my experience. And Derek, a huge thank you to you and your fabulous team for all you do. Have a great one. Thanks.
Thank you, Diana. If you want a little peace of mind, I've seen videos where an insect on the lens can cause a blurry image that looked almost exactly like a human-shaped shadow. I've seen it dozens of times. So maybe it was that. Hopefully, it was that. Whatever it was, we thank you, Diana, for sharing the call. I'm glad whatever it was chill, at the very least. If you're looking for podcast recommendations, let me tell you about one of my longtime favorites, Astonishing Legends. They love researching and analyzing amazing stories, just like we do here at Monsters Among Us. Their topics run the gamut, from the paranormal and the bizarre, to mysterious places, people, and historical events. The co-hosts, Scott Philbrook and Forrest Burgess, have a fun, conversational yet informed style, bolstered by deep research that engages your curiosity and captivates your imagination. And they take a balanced approach that blends respect with humor. Astonishing Legends is like sitting down with your friends and talking about the strangest, most exciting things you can imagine. And they just launched a new weekly listener story show called The Astonishing Dead Letter Office. Both shows are available on their main feed. Astonishing Legends is available wherever you listen to podcasts. So please, search them out and subscribe. They have over 10 years of episodes in their back catalog, just waiting for you to binge. Again, that's Astonishing Legends, or visit astonishinglegends.com for more information. Now this next one is a bit of a tearjerker, but sometimes that's how stories like this tend to go. Please welcome Gary, out of the state of Louisiana.
Hi, Derek. This is Gary. I'm calling from a small town in Cajun country, Louisiana, called Lorville. I have a story about something that, when I think about it, it freaks me out. Here it goes. Last year in February, I was sitting in my living room in the same chair that I'm sitting in right now. And I was watching television. My wife had went to bed. And I got an alert on my cell phone for, it would have been a work email that came in. So I picked up my phone, I looked at it, and it was from an organization that I've been volunteering for several years. You see, my youngest son, Jordan, was killed in 2015 by a drunk driver. So it prompted me to get involved. So anyway, when I read the email, it was an invitation to go to the state capitol in Baton Rouge to witness our new governor signing into law a bill that dealt with breathalyzers. And it was a law that was going to make it stricter on offenders. So I thought to myself whether or not to go. It was on a weekday. I had to take a day of vacation from work. And I kind of was tossing it around in my head. And all of a sudden I looked up, and on my mantle, there is a candle. It's made out of wax, but it's electronic. And it was given to us about, I don't know, a couple of weeks after our son passed away. It was a cool candle. It had a switch on the bottom with three positions, either for continuous LED on or off, or all the way on the other side. It was for 5 hours. It would light up the same time every day. It worked for about a year. Then it all of a sudden quit working. I tried messing with it. I changed the batteries out several times, you know, probably 3 times, you know, trying new batteries, messing with the switch. I never could get it to work. I figured the switch was bad. So we didn't want to get rid of it because it was given to us as a gift. So I left it on top of the fireplace on the mantle. So when this email came in, which, heck, 7-8 years, I mean, the candle hadn't worked, I look up and I see that it's lit up and it's as bright as it would have had brand new candles in it. And it freaked me out, and I thought, man, this thing hasn't worked for years. I left it alone, went to bed. Next morning, I wake up, tell my wife what happened, what I saw. And she said, you crazy. She said, did you take a picture of it? I said, no, I didn't even think about taking a picture of it. I said, it freaked me out so bad. So left it alone for that day. Later that evening, we had went with her brother and his girlfriend. We had went to eat out somewhere. It was a Saturday night. And they came in at the house. We visited for a while. After they left, it lit up again, just like brand new batteries was in it. And I said, you see, look. At that time, I was scared to look to see if there was batteries. I didn't know if I had left batteries in it. The next day, Sunday, I went ahead, I took it off the mantle. I opened it up. They had batteries in it, but the batteries had leaked. They were in there for so long that the acid had leaked all over inside. So normally, in my experience, whenever batteries would leak, like in toys, once the batteries leak and acid gets on the connections, it messes it up. But in this case, it worked. So I took a butter knife and I scraped all the corrosion that I could out of it, and I put brand new batteries in it, closed it up, I turned the switch on, and lo and behold, the thing worked like brand new. And it's been working ever since, and that's been 14 months ago. So I chalked this up as my son, probably in some kind of way, he knew that I got that email, and he knew that I had went several times, probably a half a dozen times, tell his story, to different committees, from the House representatives and senators, to tell the story of what happened to my son and why this law should be passed to try to have less people have to experience what we experienced with the loss of our child. But that's what I think it is. I think Jordan came to say, Dad, you need to go. And you need to bring Mom. Mom did come with me too. We went to Baton Rouge and watched the governor sign that bill into law and gave us some ink pens. He gave us copies of the law. And, you know, it makes me think. It's the little things that you have to watch for, because if I wouldn't have just picked up my head just for a second to see that candle illuminated, I might have missed it. And I might have missed the significance of it. I still believe my son comes to visit here at home because I hear noises that I can't explain. And under normal circumstances, maybe I should be afraid, but it really is soothing to me, because I think he still worries about his mom and dad. So anyway, I think it has some kind of significance to others who have lost loved ones, you know, people that you really care about, that you got to keep your eyes open and your ears open because they're still around. Thanks, Derek. Continue what you're doing. Love your podcast. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Thank you, Gary. You know, Gary, I can go along with that. Please don't drink and drive, folks. We've all lost someone due to this senseless behavior. I don't really think I need to say more. But I am glad that you got your bill passed, Gary. And I will say that I'm sorry for your loss as well. But hopefully this was some sort of message to you from your son. I really hope it was him reaching out. Maybe it was his way of commending your hard work and bravery. Or maybe it was his way of saying that he was proud. Great stuff, Gary. We truly appreciate you taking the time to give us a ring. Now, we've already tugged on the heartstrings, so let's kick the tires and light the fires. And let's see how that old ticker handles this instant classic from Patrick in the state of Ohio.
Hi, Derek. This is Patrick from Cleveland, Ohio. But the story that I have for you is set in Page, Arizona. It's on the northernmost edge of Arizona, right before you cross over into Utah. For 2 hours in every direction, it's Navajo Rez. So kind of the landscape looks like Mars a lot. It's the gateway to the Grand Canyon. Very, very hot summers, pretty desolate. The reason I was out there was I was working a security job protecting the dam. And when I got a day off after working nights, which would be like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., when I got a day off after many days in a row, I would take a lot of drives because it's pretty beautiful out there. It's a national park area too. One particular Sunday, I was driving during the summer, really hot, about 115 degrees. My apartment air conditioner sucked, so I had to get out of there and just kind of go for a drive for a bit till it cooled down. I started driving, and there's a particular reservation called Kayenta. From where I was driving, I mean, it looked like a road like you'd see in Looney Tunes, you know, like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Just a gazillion miles, kind of like a Monument Valley backdrop, hot sun. It's a long way to be walking. So I'm driving and I got my arm out the window and the window's down. And about a mile down the road on my right, I see someone walking. Mind you, it's 114, 115 degrees. There's nowhere to stop for dozens and dozens of miles here. So you might see some people on the res in general walking, but not on a day like today and not that far. So one of the first things that I noticed was he was pretty old, like at least mid-70s or later. He was a Navajo guy, and I noticed that his clothes were kind of like the characters in that 70s show, old. Like pants from the 70s, long sleeve shirt, light long sleeve jacket. Again, kind of like a 70s era design. So I stopped my truck and I picked him up and I asked him, you know, like, hey, where are you headed, man? It's pretty hot. It's a long way to be walking. And I noticed that he kind of was speaking like broken Navajo and English, like a combination of both. So I found that a little bit odd, but not crazy. So he got in my car. Another thing that I noticed immediately is when he sat in the car, he really stunk. And I mean, I'm not talking like a nursing home, like someone defecated or maybe urinated or anything crazy like that. I've been around death. I was a Marine, served in combat. I've been around death. I've seen dead bodies, corpses. I've smelled them. I know what. And I got to be honest with you, it was a little bit of that sweet smell of death. I kind of put it out of my mind. It's just one of those things that I noticed quickly. But I put it out of my mind and I kept driving. I asked him where he was headed. He said Kayenta. As we were driving, I tried to just, you know, be polite and get what I could out of him to figure out, you know, what he was doing walking for so long. And all he kept saying was he basically needed to get back to his wife. I'm not sure what else he said. A lot of it kind of came out in mumbles, but he just kept saying, I need to get back to my wife. I need to get back to my wife. She was so good to me. I didn't deserve her. And then it would kind of trail off into broken words. Well, eventually 40 to 50 miles went by, a long way for somebody to be walking. So I drove him 40 to 50 miles and we get back to this roundabout into his reservation. And I pull up to this house that looks kind of dilapidated. I remember it being yellow and the fence was kind of beat up. There were other houses that had trucks and cars in front of them. This one had nothing in front of it, just a dilapidated house. So I dropped him off. He thanked me. I slowly turned my truck around. And in the amount of time that I turned my truck around, I didn't see him walk across the lawn. I saw in my side view mirror and my rear view mirror, I didn't see him go in a door. He literally vanished. Most people, you know, in that amount of time, they're still walking to the door. You can wave to them. You can say goodbye. I turned the truck around and this guy was just gone. So I don't want to make any assumptions here, but I just found it really eerie and really odd. You know, maybe he was a spirit. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe that was meant just for me only. I'm not quite sure. But that's my story. I really appreciate what you guys do. God bless you and Delaney and the whole crew. Thanks.
Thanks, Patrick. I told you it was an instant classic. And reminiscent of many other classic tales where a driver shared the cab with a ghost. A ghost they only realized was a ghost when that ghost exited the vehicle. Now, we do our best here at Monsters Among Us to turn over every stone that we can when researching these calls, in the very limited amount of time we have to do so, at least. And a lot of times we come up empty. But tonight is not one of those times, because Delaney found something that she seems convinced is related to Patrick's experience. It's a short blurb from the Arizona Daily Star, printed Wednesday, October 14th, 1964, and it reads, Indian identified in traffic death. Investigators identified the Indian struck and killed Monday night by a truck as Jimmy Hatt, 71, of Kayenta. His death raised Arizona's 1964 traffic toll to 468 against 401 for the same date last year. Officers said he was struck by a truck driven by Byron H. McCoy of Norwalk, California. They reported Hatt was walking on the highway, Arizona 84, about 5 miles west of Kayenta at the time. Now, any sharp-eared listeners might have picked up on the same detail that I did. The road numbers don't match up. The road through Kayenta is US 160, not 84. But we went through and verified that it is, in fact, the same road. The numbers have simply changed over the years. but was it the very same guy that Patrick gave a ride to? Another highway casualty, trying his best to reconnect with his beloved wife. Now, what an amazing entry, Patrick. We can't thank you enough for sharing it. And I also want to say good job to Delaney for finding this article. I can't say for sure that the two are connected, but boy, is it eerily similar.
You can even build, price, and accessorize.
Kelvin, Formula One. And I drank it, and I couldn't believe the difference.
Now, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Prisons, jails, detention centers, they all tend to be haunted, to one degree or another. And here to back up that claim is Jason, from Parts Unknown.
Hello, Derek. My name is Jason. I work for the Juvenile Department of Corrections in my state. The facility I work at, it's on the highest mountain in the state. At that point in time, we had no fences. Nature was our fence, and most of our youth were boys, 15 to 21 at times, mainly inner city youth that have been locked up for one reason or another. And we were the last step before they got released. They would come complete our program, and they'd do 6 to 9 months with us, and then they would be released home. I've always worked night shift there. I've always been a night shift person. So one night I was probably about 10:20, 10:30. I parked on the hill and I was walking down to our dormitory. Our facility, we have numerous buildings. Dormitory, chow hall, gym, a schoolhouse, another location for other youth. I was headed to the main dormitory because I knew that's where I'd be stationed that night. So I was walking past our gym, and our gym is one of them, we've all seen them, the metal buildings with the big metal pillars and the framing around it, and you could hear people in there playing basketball on a noisy day. So I was walking past it, and I heard somebody in there playing basketball at 10:30 at night. Well, that was odd because our light's out and our kids are all in bed by 9 o'clock. And it was 10:20, 10:30 at night. So I walk over to the dormitory and I snatched a shift commander and I was like, hey, who's in the gym playing ball? Is somebody in there playing basketball tonight? You know, it was one of the staff in there shooting hoops. I just had to know because I was hearing somebody in there. Well, the shift commander looked at me like I was about half crazy and he goes, no. There's nobody in here. All of our kids are in bed. There's nobody in here. I looked down and told him, I was like, dude, there's somebody in that gym playing basketball. I could hear it. So he tells one of the second shift guys, a good friend of mine, to go with me and go check it out. So we walk maybe 100 yards to the gym. We get almost to the gym. Now, mind you, light pollution up there is at a minimum. And we had very few LED lights back in those days. It was all the old dusk to dawn lights. Standing beside the gym, right at the edge of where the light and the darkness meet, we seen a figure. The dark blue, almost black khakis, and a white t-shirt, which at that time was the dress code for our youth. I looked at the other guy, and he looked at me, and I was like, oh crap, we have an AWOL. He looks at me and he goes, you go this way, I'll go this way, and we'll get him in the back. So we go taking off running. We run around the gym and almost run smack into each other. And I look at my buddy and my buddy looks at me and he goes, we're blaming each other for letting the kid go past. And I looked at him and I was like, well, maybe he went out this old path because behind the gym there was a path, it was all grown up, that led to a cabin, which our youth that have their diploma went to, and they had different privileges because they were our better youth. So we go running down this overgrown path to the cabin. we bust in the cab and we look at the staff and we're like, hey, you need to do a head count. We got on the radio. Hey, we got an AWOL. You need to do a skin check. We need to check everybody. Make sure all of our kids are there. Everybody's there. So a few minutes pass and we check all of our kids. Now, we housed between 40 and 48 kids at the time. And all of our kids were there. Everybody was accounted for. Staff was accounted for. I looked at my buddy and I was like, what the hell? So we go walking out. And I was like, we seen the same thing, right? He goes, yeah. I was like, that's just nuts. So he goes, well, let's go check the gym. My group was the last in the gym. Now a group was comprised of 8 kids. And before you left a building, you straightened up that building. We was real strict on cleanliness and structure. So he goes, my group was the last in the gym. Let's go check it out. We walk into the gym. Plastic chairs strung everywhere. Every basketball we had was scattered all over the floor. And my buddy looked at me and he goes, what happened here? He goes, I had this picked up. This was straight. And I knew my buddy was telling me the truth because that's the kind of guy he is. He's a straight shooter. He's by the book. And I looked at him. I was like, well, who tossed the place? Somebody came in here and tossed it. So we never did find who this figure was. A few years later, I ran into one of my old center directors at an event outside of camp. I was telling him about it. And he looked at me and he goes, you know that camp's haunted, right? I was like, no. He goes, yeah, that place is very haunted, considering it's almost like 70 years old. He goes, there's ghosts there. That's probably what you've seen. That's one of the stories I have from work. Been a fan of the show for a long time. I've been meaning to send this in for 5 to 10 years now. Thank you for all your content. Have a great day.
We appreciate you calling in, Jason. See, I told you. Those sorts of places have a tendency to harbor strange activity. New or old, it really doesn't seem to matter. And like I said, and like Jason suggested, detention centers also fall within that category. And as a testament, here are a couple of other haunted detention centers from around the country. The Bexar County Juvenile Home for Boys in San Antonio, Texas. Part of a larger institutional campus, now the San Antonio State Hospital, the Bexar County Juvenile Home for Boys was built on the property in November of 1915, alongside a working poor farm and the home for the aged. The juvenile facility admitted boys between the ages of 6 and 16 who committed both violent and nonviolent offenses. One of the most notable incidents occurred in November 1933, when after an argument about washing milk cans, a dairy barn worker used an iron bar to bash in the skull of a 14-year-old inmate and dumped his body in a creek downstream. Visitors to the now abandoned buildings report hearing cries of distress, the sounds of shuffling feet, slamming doors, cold spots, shadow figures, and the apparition of a young girl in a white dress. And we have the Summit County Juvenile Detention Center, near where I grew up in Akron, Ohio. Originally located on Power Street in Akron, the Summit County Juvenile Detention Center oversaw a number of troubled teens. On November 7th, 1955, 5 female charges attempted to escape by shoving a scarf drenched in ammonia down the throat of Eula Bonham, a well-known matron at the facility. Bonham suffocated to death, and all 5 girls were captured within 24 hours. The detention center moved to a new location in 1960, but the original building has housed Summit County Children's Services and the Oriana House for Chemical Addiction. Employees for both of these organizations have reported disembodied footsteps, the sounds of a typewriter clacking, windows opening and closing on their own, televisions turning off and on, and a levitating slice of pizza. So thank you, Jason, for not only being a long-time listener, but for reminding us that these spooky tales originate from these sorts of places as well. Thanks for adding your story to that long list. Now, folks, this is your daily reminder that we sell all sorts of Monsters Among Us themed merchandise over in our shop. Visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab to get a look at all we have to offer. With the holidays coming up, now is a great time to peruse the aisles and grab a gift for that weirdo in your life. Again, that's monstersamonguspodcast.com and click that shop tab. And folks, that brings us to tonight's final entry. And I think a lot of you are really going to enjoy this one. Without further ado, please welcome Gloria, also from Parts Unknown.
Hi, my name is Gloria, and my story took place in December 2022. My husband and I were coming back from visiting family in California for Christmas. And this in particular year, the day after, was a big storm. And we decided we were going to drive all the way home instead of stopping and staying somewhere because we prefer to drive in the daytime. So as we're making our drive, we're still in California. We're on Highway 15, kind of before Prim, around that area where it's extremely dark. It's after 9, I want to say, and we're almost to the border of Nevada. And I always put my seat back just because I don't like being in a car in the dark. Kind of scary. But as we were driving, we were noticing a lot of cars broken down on the side of the road with flashers. We didn't see tow trucks or people in any of these cars. And we were just thinking, wow, that's a lot of cars broke down. So as we're getting further, my husband says, "What the heck is that?" So I pull the seat up to see what he's talking about. And I just see this antler spread. But it's not an animal walking on fours. It's something walking straight up. And it was a quick glance for me. But my husband was trying to justify what he had seen. And we were a little bit like nerve-wracked, wondering, what the heck? Was that someone in a costume? Was that an animal? You know, what was that? We couldn't make sense of it. And we kind of got a second wind and we were able to finish our drive. And a few miles after, you could kind of see the Buffalo Casino off in the distance. It's extremely dark out there in the desert area. And all of a sudden, our car started making us really strong, smoky smell. We had to pull over to see what was going on. And we were a little panic-stricken, needless to say, because we didn't know what we had just seen. And we figured it out. We got back in and made the drive home. And we were wide awake and trying to figure out what it was that we had seen. Googled some stuff. We're kind of unsure. I showed him a picture of a Wendigo, and he was like, "That's the closest thing to what I think I saw." Anyways, I don't know what we saw. All I know is it was not someone in a costume. It wasn't an elk or a deer or what have you, or even a mountain goat. I don't know what it was, but I'll never forget what I saw, and it scared the crap out of me. Thank you so much. I love your podcast. It's my favorite podcast.
Thank you, Gloria. I'm happy to hear we top your list. And speaking of topping lists, this story tops some of mine. An antlered beast in the deserts of Eastern California. How could it not? Especially given the fact that this location isn't all that far from where I live currently. And it's a place that I pass by each time we drive to Vegas or places east of there. Now, Gloria's claims are quite fantastical, but I'm going to do my best to keep this all as grounded as possible. Gloria mentioned the Skinwalker, a legend of Navajo origin, whose range is some 300 miles to the east, and the Wendigo of Algonquin folklore, a legend centered around the Great Lakes region, far from the deserts of California. So unless these critters are hopping a bus or taking a plane, let's look a little more locally. And let's start with the local wildlife of the area, or the lack thereof in this case. If you look at a map of deer distribution in the Golden State, which is a thing that exists, and I link to it in the show notes, you'll see that the area the I-15 runs through is an area known to be void of deer. I imagine it's too dry for them, too dry for the ground cover that they need to survive. And sure, I bet a couple of them wander through the area from time to time, but for the most part, you're not going to see one there. Now, that's not enough to dismiss deer completely as a subject, but I do think that fact puts them low on the list of possible perps. So what are we left with? Well, there are rumors from that area of people finding giant bones during the turn of the century. 8-9 foot tall, red-headed giants. Cannibalistic giants, I might add. And while most of the quote-unquote evidence for these creatures suggests that the beings lived long ago, there's still stories out of the Jarbridge area that tell of the Jarbridge monster, a massive, upright, hair-covered cannibal from the northern reaches of the state. And out there in the desert, there are plenty of one-off creatures, monsters witnessed once or twice over a 100-year span. Creatures like the Yucca Man, a Bigfoot-like entity from those desert regions. Then there are cartoonish critters, like the cactus cat and the jackalope, the latter of which does don a pair of antlers, though it only stands a couple of feet off the ground. And in southwest Nevada, there's a creature that's so rare, there's almost no mention of it online, save for a comment here and there by locals. They call it the Mount Charleston Goatman, and he's said to roam the area around Mount Charleston, just northeast of Las Vegas, and only about 50 miles as the crow flies from where Gloria had her sighting. And I'm afraid this is where the trail went cold for us. And trust me, I had our team working late last night, trying to find any other story or sighting that might help support Gloria's claims. I even reached out to my friend and host of Into the Fray podcast, Shannon LeGros. Shannon has lived in the Las Vegas area for well over a decade now, and she'd never heard of this antlered creature either, nor had she heard of the Goatman of Mount Charleston. So here is where I leave it up to you, listener. Send me what you've got. Let's get to the bottom of this antlered anomaly. 888-608-NIGHT, or shoot me an email at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And I'm sorry we couldn't find answers for you here tonight, Gloria, but I do thank you for this amazing entry. Those desert areas are magical places, so it wouldn't surprise me to know something strange was hoofing around out there. And folks, I'm afraid that's going to do it for this one. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Now, if you would, please give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Join our Discord server and leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.ag Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, folks, don't forget to watch our movie, especially this time of year. Go to BorregoTriangle.com, B-O-R-R-E-G-O.com to learn more. And now international folks can get in on the action. Visit that very same website for more details. And if you would, join us in the beyond for so much more content. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Or stick around to the very end of this episode for a sneak peek and for instructions on how you can join us. But for now, I'll catch you back here next week, the spookiest week of the year. But until then, keep it spooky and have a good night.
Something you have to watch out for, both. Take a teaspoon of this powder and
it's with grandma's salad bowl. Paul Roots coming.
Now tonight's secret entry is a weird one. But of course it is. These secret calls are almost required to be. So please welcome Anonymous out of Big Sky Country.
Anonymous, Montana, just now. So I walked into my house and it was dark, and I looked over, so I'm heading to the bathroom. My son's bedroom is at the end of the hallway, and the door was ajar, and directly in your line of sight is his dresser to the left, and just to the right of the dresser is a yellowy nightlight plug-in with an oscillating fan that's one of the tall, skinny ones in front of it, so it makes kind of a weird look, you know, the fan is backlit, basically. I'm walking in to use the restroom, and the room is dark and in shadow with a blanket over the window, kind of making a little bit of light in the room, some shadows, and then the backlight from the fan making light and another shadow. And there's a closet directly to the right of the fan and the light. And as I was walking the corner of the bathroom, I saw almost like a lightning bolt shadow get sucked into the closet. And the reason it caught my attention is because it was very dark, darker than the shadows, and it was visible in the light like it wasn't a shadow, because light would make a shadow not a shadow. So there's a black lightning bolt, I don't know, maybe 6 to 10 inches wide, and you know, that's kind of a generalization. I mean, it could have been kind of more like water being retracted. I mean, that kind of a look, kind of a lightning bolt, watery shadow. And it was weird because I saw it get sucked into the closet. I turned the corner, turned the bathroom light on. Then I stepped backwards 3 steps, looked into the room, and thought, why was something blacker than the shadows, and why was it black in the light? So me being me, because I don't care, I turned the light on, and I opened the closet door, and there's nothing in there. There's a bicycle and, you know, a fish tank and an old TV and nothing. And I don't know. Is that a thing? Super dark shadows moving in your child's room kind of makes me want to smudge it or something. I don't know. Kind of unnerved me enough to call. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, caller. Weird, indeed. Black shadows in a child's bedroom. Now, we've heard plenty of those reports before, but a black lightning shape inside the house, I think that's a new one for me. So how about it, folks? Can we throw this caller a bone? If you have some insight, you know how to reach me. 888-608-NIGHT or monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Certainly strange, whatever it was. Now, folks, this is the portion of the program that I keep under lock and key, and you can join us for the nominal fee of just $5 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee or a gallon of gas where I come from. Just visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Search us out on Patreon or visit us on the Apple subscription service. Either way, $5 gets you the goods. $1 gets you the main goods ad-free. And you can try it all with their free 7-day trial. Trust me when I say you don't want to miss stories like Sarah's out of the state of Florida.
Hi, Derek. This is Sarah from Florida, and I've had a number of horses over the years, and they all died old age or cancer or whatever. I went to visit this spiritualist church, and as I was walking out, this lady approached me and said, "Do you want to hear a message?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Well, you've got a horse with you." Now, she had never met me before, knew nothing about me, and I was dressed up, so I didn't look...